right, welcome back, everybody, for another week of the Four Guys, One Podcast Reed Kerr here with you, Zach Spears, Chris Stuckey, and Matty Five, Matt Bellner will all be along here in a couple seconds. On this week's edition of the Four Guys, One Podcast we start off with some good stuff, including a new nickname for Zach.
6'7" and pure sexy. That's what size I need for this t-shirt. For
yes, I like that. Yeah. What size shirt do you wear? 6'7" and pure sexy. Yes. I'm going to start using that.
Matty Five and I also use logic to implore Stuckey to begin drinking at home.
You can't obviously see this in a podcast, but I watch the TVs off of a reflection off of a gigantic beer cooler,
yes,
which is empty. For whatever reason.
Don't drink in the house.
Slippery slope.
I mean, of all the things you would want to do in your home to save money, it seems like you would want to drink at home.
He's got a good reason why not. He'll explain. And also, we worked together to get Zach a starting gig in the publishing industry.
Can you write condom reviews? That's a good place to start. Everybody, you know, some guys start with short work, short stories, greeting cards. Condom reviews, that's where it is.
That is all coming up on this week's edition of Four Guys, One Podcast. Without further ado, here's our host, Chris Stuckey.
Yeah, we're back for the second part of this episode of Four Guys, One Podcast. It's kind of, we're spreading them out a little bit, you know, kind of make you, we had to make you wait for this one. We didn't want to give it to you right after the first episode.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
You got to earn it.
Right.
You just can't listen to this podcast 2 seconds later. You got to earn it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's all about.
You got to want it.
Yeah.
You got to eat lightning and crap thunder, Rock.
After some extraordinarily bad Mexican food one time in Carthage, I actually had done that, so it's not pleasant.
Wow.
I had insurance, then it was cool, so.
That's good news.
Sorry, Stucky, did I interrupt the introduction?
Is it bad Mexican food if you need to have insurance to eat it?
Yes. Show your Blue Cross.
No, that makes it good
with the
Mexican
chips and
food.
Dip.
Yeah, like my.
Was it
my
Tex-Mex or Mexican? Because that's.
It's Mexican. It's
my insurance ran out yesterday.
Yeah, you need insurance to eat Mexican.
I can't go there anymore.
Yeah. Yes.
I have a pre-existing condition at your restaurant.
Yeah.
I bet you they wouldn't. If they won't cover my knee, they probably.
Yeah, I was about to say, they won't even cover one of your knees.
That's a good
cover
thing.
Cover my intestine, yeah.
They shouldn't. If you eat at a restaurant that's a level, like a C grade or lower, and you get sick, your insurance shouldn't cover it.
You did that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did that. I risked it. I mean, I ate after the fact.
But you had shrimp, too.
Yeah, I've never been more scared in my life.
Okay, wait. Hey, just so everybody, let everybody quickly introduce themselves here. I'm Reed Kerr.
Oh, yeah, I'm Chris Stuckey.
I'm Zach Spears.
And I'm Matt Bellner.
Matty Five, explain what you were doing eating off-brand shrimp.
I went to a restaurant, and I bought a gift card for my family for my mom's birthday, and we went out to celebrate at this restaurant, and we had a nice meal. And on our way out, we were bringing the car around to get my mom into the car, and I looked on the wall, which was, they tried to hide it with little banners and all this stuff,
yeah.
And was their restaurant letter grade, which was a low C.
Which was from the health department.
From the health department. This is a major national chain. If you eat one of these a day, and the second letter in the alphabet, that would be the tips I would be giving you if you want to think of the name of this restaurant. There's nothing worse than eating a shrimp meal and then looking at a letter grade on a wall of C. Then you, for the next 12 hours, you're thinking,
oh my,
I'm a walking food poison bomb.
Yes.
I missed the last day of my junior year of high school because of bad shrimp.
So I don't eat seafood.
For like the next day, you didn't want to be more than 15 feet away from a toilet at any moment?
Yeah, I was like, what's going to happen to me? It was like that movie with the monkeys, Outbreak or whatever. And you think that you've been infected and you're driving around and you're...
Yeah, driving around is bad.
And at that point, I was still doing in the radio business. I mean, sometimes I would meet 15, 20 different people a day or, you know, have to do a presentation or whatever. And the whole time you're thinking, wow, this is not going to end well.
Have you ever had that moment where you're just sitting there and suddenly your stomach makes a noise like a Lord of the Rings creature? Just
only when I eat at sea restaurants.
Mine has drowned out the television before. And I'm like, here's the remote, baby. You can watch Real Housewives for a little while. I'm going to be back in I'll be back in a half hour to 45 minutes. I'm going to take the last 3 weeks of Sports Illustrated, go to the can. Good luck. Go with God. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so the C letter grade was not a good thing for
me. No, it's my biggest pet peeve. I mean, I'll go to a restaurant if I see a letter C grade. I'll leave.
Yeah.
But after the fact is terrifying.
Yeah, finding out, yeah.
It's like getting, I mean, I'd rather get stuck by a bad needle in downtown Longview. Like, you know, oh, look, a coin, and you accidentally get stuck by a hypodermic. I would be, I'd shake that off, but eat in a bad restaurant.
Mm.
No.
You okay, Stucky?
Yeah, he's getting a little.
That was an interesting visual.
Yeah, there's a lot of hypodermic needles, and
just,
I guess.
Just floating around here.
Downtown areas.
There's a lot of homeless people.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, Longview is a retirement community, so they
and
come
it can't
here
be and, profitable for them to be outside, the homeless yeah people.
Correct.
And you know, it's not a bad climate to be homeless.
No.
This is not really something that the Chamber of Commerce would like us to discuss, no. I'm sure.
Dude, the homeless dude outside the bar in downtown Longview eats McDonald's and has an iPhone.
Yeah.
That's good.
He's homeless by choice.
Yeah.
He draws, he reads. I mean, he just figured, if I don't have to pay rent and I don't have a home and they'll give me free clothes at the mission, mm-hmm, I get picked up, I can take the Longview Transit for free, I can go to the library for free.
Right.
Now the library, Longview Library, has like 20 iMacs. The only thing he doesn't have is a house.
His roof.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets a P.O. box. He gets a homeless exemption on his taxes.
He gets mail?
Mm-hmm.
Homeless people get mail? I never thought of that.
I don't even get mail anymore, huh? I'm living below the homeless level.
We'll see if we can get him to come in for a podcast once.
That'd be great.
He's almost, remember
that'll be
Nick
safe
Nolte and Down and Out in Beverly Hills? Yeah. That could be a church project to, you know, befriend just a homeless person. Yeah.
Just borrow his iPhone, ooh, and get the recorder.
Yeah, right, that's true. Just interview him.
Can he hit? I mean, if he's homeless, there's probably not a lot of extra weight on him. He could really roam the outfield for you, Stucky, for your softball team.
Yeah.
Is he Methodist? I'll find out.
I don't know.
It's whatever it is. It's just a short trip over, I guess.
What if he has email?
If he has an iPhone, probably does.
Yeah.
Wow.
This guy's living better than I am.
We have changed.
I bet his yearly income is more than mine.
We have changed the face of homelessness. At least three of us right now are thinking, you know, I could be homeless. It really wouldn't be that big of a deal.
And he charges the phone up at the
bars every night?
Downtown, the old buildings have plugs outside where they would plug something in, like a sign or whatever. Yeah. So he could plug it into that. He hangs out in front of the TV studio downtown. I don't know why they've never interviewed him. I mean, he could be. Remember the dude that
he's just waiting for his big break.
Yeah, the radio guy that they found last year.
Yeah. Now, Grant, that didn't end well for that dude.
What happened to him? He kind of relapsed on drugs and
rehab.
Yeah, I mean,
well, okay, that. What was
he had a good voice
name?
Though.
It was a baseball name.
It was Ted Williams.
Ted Williams. That was it. Yeah. The last year, this reporter does an interview with this guy, and he's got this great radio voice, and suddenly he's like everybody's hero. And he gets a job from the Cavaliers, wasn't it, at the time?
Yeah, pregame announcements.
Yeah, and then he left and went to Miami. No, that was somebody else. we've all worked in radio. A radio guy with a great voice and a bright future ahead of him, winding up homeless and unemployed and living under a bridge,
it's
that
typical
is not out of the ordinary for radio people.
No.
No, it is not. I wish it were different. No, that's about 40% of the people that I've known, and I've seen them all. I was at a radio station that is always going to be nameless, but we had an open morning show. We had a time slot open, basically, and everybody who had hosted a radio show of any kind, music, talk, sports, salsa, came through to try to get that time slot. And there were people coming through who hadn't worked in radio since like 15 years ago when they were on the air, you know, at KSUC across town. There was a guy who used to be like the big morning guy in our market. He works for one of the rental car places driving cars back and forth to Dallas.
Wow.
And he was not the least successful of the people who came in looking for it. That's radio, kids.
And the guy in Tyler recently that was the original Ronald McDonald that got hit and run over by the car, and he had 300 hit songs that he recorded.
I heard that. Do you believe that?
If it was on Wikipedia, it's got to be true. I mean, literally, that's how I live my
and
life.
And he said he came up Wikipedia with right yeah he said he came up with the ideas of a bunch of like Frankenstein or something. I don't know.
He was the original Ronald McDonald that did all those commercials.
I missed this.
As a non-union actor.
It's a Tyler thing. You wouldn't know.
Yeah. A guy that, a dude.
It doesn't involve beer or dancing. Which yeah. Is what long
somehow a guy was on a bike with a duct tape seat and he got hit by, he pulled into oncoming traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So chances are they don't ever say it on the news, but he was obviously he was intoxicated or something.
Drunk or committing suicide.
Yeah. Something it was not positive.
Yeah.
And then you find, and then they just thought it was a normal dude when they broke the story. Then 3 days later, they find out he was the original Ronald McDonald, and then they had all these great photos of him with President Reagan, Sammy Davis Jr.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe in Ronald Reagan and Sammy Davis Jr.
The story. Yeah, I didn't believe the story. I didn't believe the story either. I heard it. I was like, "That's a crock."
So the dude that was the original Ronald McDonald was riding a bike with a duct tape seat, and Tyler got hit by a car.
Correct.
Yep. And he was hammered too.
I don't know as to the veracity of the story, but I mean, if he was on those early TV commercials, I'm assuming as the character, there's not a lot of
Yeah, they didn't
pay a whole lot.
They didn't unionize commercials until later on.
So probably when he wasn't working, he didn't get any revenue out of it, or
I know that feeling.
And you know this: every actor is one job away from making it, and one missed job away from being homeless and riding around on a bike with a duct tape seat.
Yeah,
and charging their phone on old buildings in Longview.
Charging their phone on old buildings in Longview.
I'll get the story of the guy below
and starting their own fight club. You want to talk fight club?
Fight club.
There's
a
book.
Yes, there's a book.
I didn't realize there was a book.
Okay. The book...
Because I don't read.
Because you don't read. You can.
But I'm trying. I learned.
Don't.
Yeah, I did
I
learn.
Like to read.
Yes, it is
Readabout
a book.
Readabout.com.
It actually was a short story first. Thanks
really?
For the plug.
Yeah.
It
How
actually
short?
Was a short story first, and
How
then
short?
That sold 7 pages. The ideal length of a short
can you
story
still buy
is 7
it?
Pages. No, I bought the full
Matter of fact, before we go any further, I need a Readabout.com t-shirt.
Can we get those,
Stucky? Yeah.
You want to buy it for some...
I can get one made.
I'll buy a... A Hanes t-shirt and a Sharpie.
Yeah, I could seriously, I could get myself one made. I think I will. And I'll have a clever thing. Like, I write stuff real good on the back of it.
That's what my business cards say. I write stuff up real good. But see, if I were going to get Readabout t-shirts, I would break the entire budget making one shirt for you. Because I can't. What do you want, an XL? Keep going, Big Daddy. Hey, double X, triple X? What do you?
Go ahead.
Yeah, just 6'7" and... And pure sexy. That's what size I need for this t-shirt. For
yes, I like that. Yeah. What size shirt do you wear? 6'7" and pure sexy.
Yes.
I'm going to start using that.
Dude,
we're going to use it on promo.
That would be your byline.
Yes. Okay, the Fight Club questions?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I didn't realize it was a book.
It was a book first. It was actually a 7-page short story that they bought, and then this guy had to throw pretty much every story he'd ever heard in his life from his friends into it to make it into a book. And so
can you still purchase the short story? Like on the internet?
I don't know.
Or read it?
You can buy the
book. I like short stories.
He's pretty adamant about the short story.
The whole book is less than 200 pages. I mean, it's really
well spaced. It's going to take a year and a half.
Yes. every week we come over, I'll read you 10 pages. How about that?
I took a class in college called Short Stories. I was like, it's going to be easy. It was terrible. Instead of, like, okay, read this short story and then these 9 others.
Yeah.
I'm like, now I'm reading a book.
All I remember about short stories.
Now I
got to
remember different stories.
You're reading a book that's 10 different stories. You got to remember all of them.
Yes.
I think reading's on its way out.
You also pronounced Facebook dead a couple of months ago. So
I still think that's going to happen. I'll go back and listen to my podcast from like 2003 when I talk about MySpace dying.
Yeah, that's true. You were and you at that point were saying, and this Netscape crap is done.
Yeah. I said Netscape is out.
And he was also predicting that Napster was the greatest thing ever.
Yes.
Yeah, and this HP tablet I got is going to kick ass.
I have one of those.
You did? You got one?
I do. I bought that when they went on clearance at Best Buy. I got one for the express purpose of making it's a full color reader. Basically, for me. For books, comics, things like that. And because of that, I've been able to clear up thousands of things in my house that I've been able to sell, give away, et cetera. So it was
plasma.
A good investment for me. Yeah. Yeah. Kidneys, et cetera.
Hair. You got to sell that hair.
Actually, before I cut it, I was wondering if there were any poor children with locks of love who'd want to look like me. And they said, no, really. You just keep it, son. We don't. No one is that bad off. So... Fight Club, Stucky.
Yeah. I watched it for the first time. Let's see. It hadn't been too long ago.
Right.
Maybe a year ago. And it's one of those movies that you watch it and like blows your mind.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Well, it's going to be spoiled for you here in a couple of seconds.
Stucky, do you have it?
You can't discuss it without.
I have it on iTunes.
I've got it.
I need to borrow it. Can I borrow it?
Yes. It is absolutely the biggest DVD ever. Because it's a 2-DVD package and there's like a million extras on it. And I've seen most of them.
So what are your thoughts on the movie? Like, as a guy who's seen Obviously, tons Fight Club, of movies.
Fight Club is like, it's like a very violent Office Space slash Dilbert kind of movie, in that there's a lot of rejection of what guys have to do in our society. The whole plot against the people from work. It starts with two guys who meet each other, and one guy's very charismatic, and he talks the other one into having a fight with him just so they can see if they can be in a fight, to a full-blown movement of nihilism that becomes a terrorist front, pretty much.
Well said.
Well, thank you. I think a lot about it. but it, I know it's a, it was a not promoted very well movie.
Yeah,
but,
when did it come out? What year? Do you remember?
99, maybe.
Yeah, it was back there, because the first time I saw it, I actually...
Was it in the theaters?
No, my daughter had been born. She was less than six months old, rather, and I was feeding her, and, you know, I feed her, you put her to sleep. And so, basically, I'd watch whatever was on television at that time, because I didn't want to just, you know, throw her down on the couch and run off. And Fight Club came on one night, and I actually watched the second half of the movie before I watched the first half of the movie, which completely spoils the big shock that everybody's supposed to get in this movie.
Yeah.
And so... that was kind of lost on me. But since it was on HBO, and as everybody knows, when you watch something on HBO, it'll be back on another 35 times before the end of the month. So I saw it several times. It's one of my favorite movies.
And is it long?
October 15th, 1999 is when it was released.
And it's 139 minutes long.
And I remember when it came out, you got to remember, October 15th, that, you know, a weekend in the middle of October, for a guy... That's when they're watching football.
Right.
Good point.
They released a movie that was aimed towards men that liked the violence, and they're into that scene. They released it right in the middle of when guys are their target demographic.
Guys are not going to movies.
Yeah. You got a guy who makes a brilliant film or a great, whatever you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it in forever, so I can't really comment on it, but this is a poor. They put it out. It didn't make a big run at the theater by today's standards,
right,
because the normal dude is not going to go see it.
There are some movies that are just so badly promoted.
Yeah, how can that be? Because movies are so expensive. You know, I mean, because it takes a lot of money to make a movie.
You know, in the last podcast, we talked about Moneyball. When you watch the promos for Moneyball, is it a baseball movie? Is it a family movie? Is it a comedy? Is it a drama? I'm surprised it did as well as it did. I think the buzz from the book helped it. There was a movie a while back called Frequency. You guys know the movie I'm talking about? Dennis Quaid?
Yeah.
And
never seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
The guy that's on Person of Interest now. It was the commercials for it had it as this sort of father and son family movie separated across 30 years and talking to each other. And it looked awful. And I didn't see it, and it came on when I was at the TV station, and I was getting ready to do the 10 o'clock news, and it was on Sunday night, so I'm watching part of it. And it's a really good movie with this, like, cross-time murder plot going on that was never mentioned anywhere else.
Yeah,
you know, really? If I hadn't watched it, I still wouldn't know what it was about. It's a good movie.
And, like, another completely different movie like that is that rom-com, or whatever the heck they call them these days. Mm-hmm. What's Your Number? That Anna Faris movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was funny. Great movie. Girls like it. Guys like it. And it got zero publicity.
Never heard of it.
You know what movie? That other movie, Hugo.
You know what movie I really like? Goofy movie. Watched it last night.
Oh.
It's quite erotic.
But, it's erotic.
What's Your Number? That had like one commercial. And they aired it several times, but it was only one scene. And if I see a movie commercial with one scene in it, I assume, well, that's the only funny scene in the movie.
I thought it was a straight-to-DVD film. I had a free rental at Redbox.
How do you always get these free rentals at Redbox?
My baseball coach in the men's baseball league, where we are the Bossier City White Sox now.
We're not friends, by the way.
You're not friends with him?
No.
You and my coach?
Yeah.
Friends with my baseball coach?
I'm worried about y'all, about splitting,
about me getting injured?
Time. Yeah. Look, get injured on the baseball field.
I've been doing this my whole life. I'm a pro athlete. Mm-hmm. If you'll like them now that I can get free Redbox coupons. But that, he gives them to me at like 9 o'clock at night and it expires at midnight. So you're flipping out. You go, oh my God, I gotta get a free movie. The movie is a dollar.
Yeah.
So you're
just saving. You're losing money in gas driving up there.
He'll send me a text message at 8:50. He goes, hey, I got a free rental, and I'll get. And I'll go, ah, oh, shit. I gotta get to Walgreens. And then you get to Walgreens, and I go, God, I gotta get this code in, entered now.
Man.
And you panic.
When I go to those red boxes and the Blockbuster ones, you know, it's full of movies, and there's movies all over the box, you know, to draw your attention. And at the top are always the good movies. And it's always like they have like 8 new releases that are out that week, and then they have about 10 things that have been out in the last 4 or 5 months, mm-hmm. and then they have like 15 Dolph Lundgren movies.
Yeah.
What is that?
And then there's always some stray random movie that somebody probably kept for, I don't know, 2 years, and yeah. then they return it. And you'll scroll through the movies, mm-hmm. and you'll be like, "Meet the Fockers."
Yeah.
How did this even get in here? I mean,
and this like the direct to video movies that people who are now famous made before they were famous,
mm-hmm.
and it's you know, like the McConaughey in the what was it, the
Surfer Dude? It was that one. That
well, there
did.
Was that one, but there was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Next Generation.
Oh yeah,
with him and. Blonde girl with a face like a foot. You know what I'm saying?
Blonde girl. You're talking about actresses, not girls in Zach's past. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because they made that movie, and then they knew those two were going to be famous, and they sat on it.
They just sat on it.
I have a movie like that I was in, mm-hmm. and then the guy that's in it, they're sitting on it. But they're not sitting on it because they're waiting for the dude to be famous. They're sitting on it because they don't have enough money to finish it. But that's what they're telling everybody.
So it's like they need an ending for it, and they just can't film it, or...
They have an incomplete movie shot, but they don't have anybody to do the finished. They can't pay them the money to get it edited, the final edit.
Ah, so
they need this movie to be edited because I get paid when it hits the theater.
So you're still. How long has this been?
October of 2009. So you get paid. Say you get paid 1/5 of your salary when the movie hits the screen. You get the other 4/5.
So you got
only
paid.
In the movies do you get. I mean, people think you get rich by doing all this stuff. You only make money if it airs.
Mm. So you got almost nothing for this when you started. I mean, you.
Yeah, I got paid.
Right.
I didn't get paid one of my normal wages.
You got paid 20% of what you
correct
supposed to make.
Yeah.
And the other 80% is hopefully if they ever finish editing it.
Yeah, that's how they do low budget movies. I'll teach Chris how to do this when we start making our films. Mm.
Yes, I'm ready. We got to get a good camera.
Y'all should film at my sports bar I'm opening.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be a scene, man.
Yeah,
it'll be a
scene.
When everybody comes in, they have to sign in and sign the waiver. So whatever happens, happens. Yep. You know? And then we have the
is that how you do that? Ooh. Is that how you do that when you film something someplace? I've always wondered that. When they're out in New York City filming and there's just random people walking by,
mm-hmm.
do all those people have to sign a waiver?
In theory, yes. Unless it's a news story. If they're the main person, they have to sign a waiver.
Well, you see a lot of
I just see like random people like walking by. They don't. Some I don't even know if they know they're in it. Like on the Jackass movies, they're filming that stuff.
They should have everyone with a waiver.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll see guys walk by, and you'll see everybody's faces. Yeah. And one guy will walk by, and he'll be blurred.
Correct.
Out.
He didn't sign it.
But like you know, on the movie, I don't know, New Year's Eve. Did you see that movie this year where everything was filmed in Times Square?
Those are all extras. They're paid.
Every single. 10,000 people are extras.
Or they're digitally put in there.
There are, like, you know, you're walking in New York City and there's just people walking by. All those are extras.
Because I'm sure they commandeer that place.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They don't want, you know.
That's why you got to get the Hollywood.
From the Howard Stern show running through there naked, you know.
Because if you went to Hollywood right now, young guy, 23, fearless, 6'7, right. You would be. I just don't know how much money you want to make in your life. Just if you want to be a
you would make a fantastic serial killer.
You would be.
I can see you with a.
But I make a lot of money in Hollywood right now.
Carrying a chainsaw and a machete.
Why don't I go out to Hollywood then?
All roads head west. I mean, would you be comfortable being on a reality show?
Yeah.
Would you be comfortable being, as we discussed a couple podcasts ago, The Bachelor?
Yes.
Big Brother.
I think I'd be like I think I could be the next Will Ferrell, and I'm not even kidding.
Well, that's not reality.
Like running through the street naked, like that type of Will Ferrell. Yeah.
No, but I think I could be a pretty good actor.
You got to do it. You get one chance.
Yes.
You got tons of chances.
That's happened.
Wow.
Yeah. That's because Maddie went out there and he lived it. I mean, he stayed here for a while, went out there.
Yeah, I made a living doing it.
Made his living. How long were you out in Hollywood?
17 years.
I think Leno. I think Leno and I would be boys.
Yeah. I mean, I made enough money where every year I ate.
Yeah.
I got my health insurance, but I could walk through the mall, mm-hmm. and nobody would know who I was unless I had a TV commercial running at the time. And still, they would go, "Oh, you look like that guy."
But in Hollywood, they're used to that, though.
You don't, yeah.
In Hollywood, they're used to seeing famous people.
And until TMZ came along, celebrities used to be able to go out and they wouldn't get harassed. Mm-hmm. There still are some places you can go, but you'd have to get used to that. But you're used to. I mean, you're a young kid. You've lived your whole life online.
I mean, you went out, man. You stayed there for 17 years. You were a working actor. You made it work. You know, you didn't. You did okay. You're not on a calendar somewhere, but my God, you were a working actor in Hollywood for 17 years.
Yeah, I mean, I had other jobs at the same time, but
I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. You went out to Hollywood and you didn't come back 6 months later, and you didn't wind up in porn, and you didn't wind up in
that
prison.
We know of. He may be in porn.
Yeah, well, I didn't get cracked out or get hooked on smack.
Yeah. Or whatever. No, you were very deliberate with your smack use. You didn't get hooked at all. So
you would just do it before the game.
Yes. A little bit during the game.
Yeah. A little bit between, you know, that second game of a doubleheader, back to back on the road.
Seventh inning stretch. That's what it's there for. Take me out to the crack game.
No, I think it would be fantastic if Zach went out there and gave it a whirl. I would say you gotta give it what you would give college. 4 or 5 years.
Do you want to sponsor me to go out there, or is this something we need to, our listeners of the podcast to do? Is sponsor me going out there?
I think you should just hemorrhage all your money. You get out there and
put all your money together and then throw it away, and then set up a PayPal account where you can take donations.
Yeah.
And Stuck, you can set up my PayPal account. Are you? Because you
actually on PayPal right now. That's kind of odd.
Yeah.
Are you buying? Did we not ask you a question quick enough? And you're buying something during the podcast?
I'm trying to see what my shoes are going to be shipped to.
The yellow shoes.
Did you get the polos?
I got the polos.
Attaboy.
Stucky bought yellow shoes for a trip to Sesame Street. Apparently, this last.
Yeah. I didn't.
You're
have
really
any,
into shoes.
I am. I'm
into anything polo. So
I wear
proud
polo
of
shirts, and I like my shoes to match the horse.
Yes.
So I have like three shirts.
I saw that earlier.
I have like three shirts with yellow horses and no yellow shoes, so I had to fix that.
Truly a tragedy.
It is.
Of epic proportions.
First world problem.
And he wonders why he's losing Facebook friends.
Yes. So is that it? You're losing Facebook friends because you post on Facebook about which yellow shoes should I buy?
I got a lot of responses on the post.
I don't know how you're losing Facebook friends, and because all your posts are like, all your Facebook posts are good, and you don't post on Facebook that much.
No.
And here's what says you do on
Twitter.
I don't
overdo it. No, because you got to do Facebook different.
How many friends did you lose?
Well.
Oh, you lost one since we talked.
I said I was just under 1180. So
okay,
like
is
I added like
79 right now.
I don't know. I let like the request pile up, and then I added like four people the other day.
There's a lot.
And
of
when I added them, it didn't go up any. It's like what happened?
Once a week, I guess it's kind of egotistical, but I'm trying to, you know,
it's not egotistical.
In terms of marketing, I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing right and doing wrong.
Absolutely.
As a writer. I'm trying to take advantage of Facebook and Twitter. Every Sunday, I'll just sit down. Okay, I get this many Facebook followers, this many subscribers, and this many Twitter fans. Like I've gained probably 50 Twitter folks over the last month, but
really?
I actually lost a couple this last week because I didn't Twitter anything, and people will come on, and there's a site you can go to. I don't remember the name of it, but it's like whounfollowedme.com, and you can go and log in with Twitter, and it will tell you. Since the last time you logged in, who has unfollowed you?
Are you serious?
I need that.
Yeah, and I do go through that once a week because, you know, if you ain't famous and you're not following me, and you're not interesting, I'm not going to follow you.
Exactly.
Correct.
And people will come on, and I'll get an ad from some guy I've never heard of, and I'll look, and he'll post, you know, semi-interesting stuff. Okay, as the courtesy is, I will follow him. Then, like a week later, he unfollows me.
He's just like, and you're stuck following.
Yeah, he's just like trolling for
followers.
For Twitter followers. Yeah, it would be different if it cost you something to follow somebody on Twitter. It's free. Nobody cares how many people.
See,
you follow.
I don't want to follow more people than the people that follow me. You know, like I don't want to follow 800 people and have 700 followers.
See, that's one of my big things. I hate following people. Mm-hmm. Like we call it the Twitter ratio. Mm-hmm. And back before a lot of people got on Twitter, I didn't want to follow more than 90 people. But now a lot of people that I know are getting on Twitter, I follow right at 140 to 150. And I really don't like being up over 150. Mm-hmm. And I only follow one person that I don't know that's not like a fan site, you know, Dallas Cowboys fan site, right, or Miami Heat. And the one person I follow that I don't know is LeBron James. That's the only person I follow that
so
I don't
know. So you don't follow like Will Ferrell,
nope,
Steve Martin,
Kate Upton?
Nope. I don't follow any of those type of people. I follow Texas Rangers, Dallas Cowboys, Calvin Watkins, who's I consider like a fan site.
Right.
And then LeBron James. I know the rest of my people.
LeBron may know you, though.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
For all of your you've been a LeBron supporter even during his downtime.
I'm sure LeBron knows who I am.
Yeah. And see, how tall is – are you and LeBron the same height?
No, he's a lot taller. He's almost 6 foot nine. He's 6'8 and three quarters. I'm 6'6 and a half.
He's listed at 6'8.
That's just 2 inches.
Yeah, that ain't nothing.
Speaking of
– we're both closer to 7 foot than we are 6 foot.
Missed it.
The Carl's Jr.
The worst seat in all of podcasts. I'm the only guy not facing the TVs.
And there's TVs everywhere. How's that possible?
We need the whole panorama. We need TVs all around us, like a fishbowl.
I see the TV. You can't obviously see this in a podcast, but I watch the TVs off of a reflection off of a gigantic beer cooler.
Yes.
Which is empty for whatever reason.
It's
don't drink in the house.
Slippery slope.
I mean, of all the things you would want to do in your home to save money, it seems like you would want to drink at home.
A lot of people have told me that.
Yeah, that's...
When you have a home this nice...
These days, I want to drink at home a lot, so...
Yeah.
The Facebook friends, I don't know. Mine fluctuate a little bit up and down. Facebook, I think, is more of a commitment for some people. Although, I do get some people who just subscribe who aren't friends, which is cool, because I kind of just use mine to, you know, for semi-witty observations and plugging the other things that I get paid to write.
Correct.
But it's, you know, Twitter is just weird the way that people come and go. Like this last week, I had a girl that I've known off, you know, not really known her that well, but for like, you know, a couple of years. I met her back when I first started working for this last radio station. It's about two and a half years. And I was looking at that unfollowing thing, and she's unfollowed me on Twitter. We're still friends.
Wow.
But she just vanished.
I had a guy I worked with in Des Moines at a radio station, and him and I are really good friends. We did a lot of stuff together. We covered a lot of games and stuff together. We would go out to eat. We'd go out to the clubs and stuff. And he left. He moved back to the East Coast to work at a radio station there where he's from, and he unfollowed me. And I called him. I was like, dude, are you kidding me? I helped establish your Twitter, and you unfollowed me? And he was like, yeah, bro, that's my bad. I'll follow you right back. I was like, okay, two or three day grace period. Never follow me back, so unfollowed him. Mm-hmm. Called a couple of our other mutual friend buddies, and he unfollowed them too.
Huh.
So he's trying to get rid of us. So I don't follow him anymore, and I don't
have
to.
People fight nowadays.
Yeah,
I don't have to listen to his Patriots and Boston Celtics and Boston Red Sox rants anymore either, mm-hmm, since I'm not his friend on Twitter, which is very
okay.
Nice.
Blocking people, since we're talking about that.
Block?
Do you block Facebook, Twitter, etc.?
Yes, I blocked an ex girlfriend on Twitter because she was reading my posts and making fun of me about them. And I mute people.
Yeah, I mute people.
Mute is great.
Because
they're like, why don't you follow me? I do follow you, you know?
Wait,
you don't
what? What
talk to me. What's this mute business?
Mute, it still shows the person that you follow them. You just don't get any of their posts.
How do you do that?
Click on one of their posts, and the post is here, and in the top, I guess, top right corner is a little arrow. If you pull it down, you can take posts from that person out of your feed.
Really?
Yeah, because I have friends, you know, as a part of the media, a lot of people think they know me who have absolutely no idea who I really am. A lot of people like to have political rants and religious rants and just rants that say, hey, I'm a dumbass. And I don't, those get tiresome.
I bet I'm muted by a lot of people.
I probably am too. And that's cool because I don't care. But
how do I not know this?
Politically.
Because Stucky and I had this conversation the other day where we get overrun with, I mean, I'll go to the gym and I'll come back and I'll have 150 tweets.
Yeah.
Usually some fool doing play-by-play at a sporting event, and that's how you get untweeted from me.
Yeah. I'm usually pretty patient with people, but there's one guy who's followed me who is just in the business of political rants. And all the political rants come from weird websites that are not affiliated with any, you know, it'll be like, no, here's proof that Obama's a Muslim from you know, xxthetruthisouthere.com/gov.edu. You know, after a little while, I'm just like, I'd like to see what you're saying, but you're apparently insane. So, you know,
I
slapped the mute on him.
I did that made the drastic post of putting something up about a pit bull attack.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, my Lord. And then...
Were you pro or con pit bull?
I'm not a big fan of pit bulls just because personal experience, family members getting bit. And it was on the KLTV, sent me the news about a pit bull attack. And and I tried to make something humorous.
Oh, no.
And it pissed off some people. And then you get... And you start getting these messages on the side, and I go, okay, I'm done with this. Yeah. Didn't understand. There's certain things you don't play with, and that's dogs, I guess.
That is one of those topics that just set people on fire.
Lose, lose.
When I was at the aforementioned station, anytime we do a story on pit bulls, which, let's be honest, happens about once every other month,
yes,
the site is alive with people who want all pit bulls banned and people who want pit bulls banned. Yeah, scream at each other. And one of the hardest jobs I have ever had in the media was at one point I was in charge of reading the comments on our stories on this news site and going through and, you know, taking out the ones that they didn't have a filter really for profanity or racial slurs. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so I would have to read hundreds of comments by yokels, you know, by Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel, ranting about pit bulls, looking for, you know, the time that he drops the, you know, drops the F word on somebody just so I could cross it out. Because we didn't block you for stupidity. We blocked you for attacks. And I had to read all that. And, you read a couple hundred of those comments, and at the end of the day, you're thinking, my God, why did I buy a house here? What's wrong with this place? You know, but, yeah, pit bulls, that's one of those that... people take really, really seriously.
I hide a lot of people on Facebook. Like, you can hide them.
Yeah.
Hide all their posts. And then, like, you have the option of every update, some updates, only important updates. You know, you can do that. You can, like, customize.
That's why it's going to be why it's going to end. Because it's going to get to the point where people, all they're going to really give a damn about is their own little post, but no one's going to be reading because everybody's hidden.
How does
it's
Facebook,
like yelling at a closet.
How does Facebook know what posts are important?
That confuses me, too.
Because they're the ones that get the most attention. I think it kind of has a, like, trending words because it'll bring up, like, hey, Chris Stuckey and Reed Curry have talked about the Dallas Cowboys along with 13 other people. So that's something important that's going on right there. 13 other people are talking about it.
Yeah. What I love is when that happens and it's not correct.
Yeah.
Like, I saw a lot of guys posting, like, about the NJCAA JUCO basketball tournament that was showing up under the NCAA post, which those two things are completely different.
Yeah. When they first came out with that, it was really flawed because, like, somebody would say something about the Texas Rangers and be like, somebody posted about FC Ranger.
Yes. Yeah. They're like a Scottish soccer team.
Yeah.
Or Scottish people would know it.
Also, like,
soccer.
When you're on your profile page, there's a list of 10 people.
Yes.
And it changes every time you click on it.
Yes.
Just curious how they come up with those people.
I am too.
I think it's the people that you're most active with because it is normally a lot of people that I'm active with.
Aww. I'm on mine right now, and the person at the top is
Reed. You're active with him on Facebook, no homo.
Well, I'm sure Facebook's able there to read our minds.
We talk
right now
on there.
Facebook knows we're taunting it. That's it.
Facebook is... Don't make fun of Facebook while on Facebook.
Do not taunt Facebook. Do not attempt to look directly at Facebook.
Don't get it wet. Don't feed after midnight.
Exactly.
His rules.
If Facebook cracks open, run. Yeah. It's a little unnerving to have Facebook tell me what's
important.
I'm
not uncomfortable talking about it.
I refreshed it. The first place is a local sandwich shop here.
Do you eat there a lot?
I do.
We're brothers?
Do you eat there a lot? Do you eat at Brothers more than you talk to the rest of us?
No, it's close.
Okay.
It's close.
We can accept that.
It's good food,
I suppose. Facebook friends, we're all...
I don't keep track of my Facebook friends.
You should, because you kind of have to, as someone that's marketing himself, like we all are, it helps to know when you've done horribly, horribly wrong.
I used to keep track of my MySpace profile views.
Yeah, I remember those days.
I lost a lot of Facebook friends when I... went on the little Harry Potter marathon. I literally lost like four in like a couple hours because I watched all 9 movies in like 72 hours.
I won't hide somebody for that. I won't, if we're friends, because I don't really unfriend anybody because my Facebook is not actually my friends. My Facebook is people who think they know me.
Well, it's obviously not our friend. I have 1,179 friends.
Are you going to invite those people over to watch NASCAR?
Yeah.
That would be great if all if he put that out.
1,100 people showed up.
And they just said, screw it. Yeah, I'm going.
Let's go to Stuckey's.
That'd be a great party. Yeah,
no, I don't want everybody.
That would be a great.
That would be
prank.
Like a Project X party. Yes.
Have you seen the movie yet?
No.
I want to go see it.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Right.
Let's
go.
We're done. Thank you, everybody.
Yes. I actually had a somebody that I used to work for. I was looking for movie reviewers.
Oh, I'm all in.
Yeah, and they're not paying. So that's
that typical.
That's the way it goes.
And they make you pay to go to the movie too. I'm sure.
Well, yeah, you got to sneak in. You know, gotta have a contact there. Stucky, one other thing that you've been sort of confused about and upset with lately, a little while back, daylight savings time. Ooh. I'll say this.
Go ahead.
When you're not working, you don't give a crap.
Yeah.
So, you know, I woke up, I'm like, is it this time or this time? I'm just going back to sleep. So it was a lot easier on me than perhaps on you, but how'd you take it?
No, it didn't bother me at all. It bothers me that it bothers people. It's 1 hour.
I don't understand the whole.
They're still posting
it to begin with.
You know, you're like you're 4 or 5 days later. Man, I'm feeling that daylight savings time. I'm like, it's been 5 days and it was 1 hour. What do you do?
Yeah,
I literally had that discussion today. She's like, oh, the daylight savings time. That's probably why I'm so run down.
Still, really?
Yeah. I can assure you, it didn't have anything to do with. It might have had maybe last call.
Yeah.
Might have had, I think last call is a bigger problem for people than losing an hour of sleep.
No, that's how you lose an hour of your life, though.
Yeah, you brought up a good point.
You gotta piece together. It's where you need receipts.
Yeah.
Timestamps.
Wait.
Are you a big receipt guy for that reason, Stucky?
Well, I paid at this time. I got home at this time. And
some hangover type.
Something happened there. I'm not sure. That's the same as losing.
And that was in the middle of winter when you lost those 4 hours.
I'm still looking for them.
Do you think perhaps you were abducted, taken away by aliens?
I can't rule it out. I don't know.
Aliens don't usually, they're not good about giving receipts.
You and Sammy Hagar.
Yes.
Abducted by aliens.
Yes.
And he tips cash.
Yeah.
And as we say every week.
Tipsandcash.com.
And we tried to get tips and cash. Somebody already had that website.
I, by the way, have had a haircut since last we met, so I do not.
I kind of noticed.
I don't. Well, it was primarily to stop people from referring to me as Sammy Hagar. So
you do look like, especially in that picture you posted on readaboutit.com, readaboutit.com.
Yeah. Thank you. You can also go to theblueareacom, by the way. That sends you to the same place.
Did you cut it yourself?
No, with a Flobee? No,
yeah.
I had a professional cut it. I don't want to.
How much did you spend?
Yeah, I was about to say, how much did
I
run
went
you?
To, like, whatever the generic haircut
did
place
is. Did you tip?
Is. Yeah.
Was it Sports Clips? Was it Sports Clips who sponsors our podcast?
It was not Sports Clips. Because the last time I went to that Sports Clips was when I told the girl I wanted her to cut off half my hair.
Oh, I remember.
And she
this
didn't
story.
Understand fractions. And, you know, I went back to the TV days. And because of that, I took an inordinate amount of crap from my wife, who likes my hair longer than it is now.
Really?
Yes.
How? Why?
It's all her. It's insane.
You don't really.
I mean, I look like a psycho clown at some points. I mean, I look like I'm going to.
It's kind of rough.
I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you cheeseburgers and then butcher you to death. And she's like, "No, keep growing it. I love that."
We got to bring her on once.
We actually did used to podcast. We podcast about some of the TV shows. We podcast about Idol and Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh yeah.
Neither of which I'm watching this year for some reason.
We talked about Idol a lot last year on the podcast.
And I didn't. Yeah, we did the old Donkey Taco podcast.
Donkey Taco.
Yeah, I still can't go back. I still can't go back to Idol. I just don't care. I'll jump on later on in the year, but I.
Well, there's
and
not.
I'm like 4 weeks behind on Celebrity Apprentice. I'm not coming back to it. It's just.
It's too much.
It's one of those shows that if you miss it, you realize you don't really miss it. You know, it was just chewing up 2 hours of our life. But
I don't like 2 hour shows.
It's 2 hours, but the last hour of it is all in the boardroom. And you realize that if they would just, they could do the, they could, it's like we're talking about last week in the NFL and MLB games that they could show in less than half an hour. You could show that whole show in less than half an hour. The last hour is just dramatic music and people staring at each other.
Really?
I mean, it's like Meet Joe Black edited poorly. So
wow, Meet Joe Black reference.
I knew that you
if
were
you're playing the drinking now. Game, you can drink now.
Another,
so.
Okay, I believe. That in this podcast session, that is our third Brad Pitt movie reference. Moneyball, Fight Club, and now Meet Joe Black.
True. Very true.
Meet Joe Black, Actually, the last magazine that I was reviewing movies for was like 10 years ago. That was one of the movies. That was the longest, most boring movie I've ever seen. And I saw Far and Away. So I just remember.
Dude, I saw that.
There was one scene in that movie where they're just staring at each other for what seems like 6 minutes. My frequent flyer miles expired while I was waiting for Anthony Hopkins to speak in that movie. It was awful.
Is this what happens when you guys go to Golden Chick?
Yeah.
Does the lady just stare at you?
And they
just,
hate us there.
Why do they hate you so much?
And they just stare at us. You ever go to those places? Usually fast food, but occasionally like theaters, places where people are earning probably minimum wage to serve you. And you get something that you're supposed to get, and then you ask them for something that is completely reasonable, and you realize that you've just pissed this person off greatly. You know, like, can I get a little extra butter on that? Then the slow turn to get whatever. Can I get some honey mustard sauce with that?
Yeah. They just don't look like happy people that work
in
this one.
No, they don't.
Well,
I don't know if it's us, but I'm pretty sure it's just their mental attitude every day.
Yeah. And we don't, it's not like we're asking them to you know, hey, could you make me a Boilermaker? You know, I'm not asking him for, you know, to do anything. Just turn around and hand me that thing that's behind
that's
you.
That's the next
please.
Time we go drinking with Stucky.
Stucky, the Boilermaker.
He's getting a Boilermaker. Well,
what exactly you've is never a Boilermaker?
I don't even know what the hell a Boilermaker is.
A Boilermaker is basically just beer.
It's a shot in a beer, isn't
it's
it?
You take the shot and you drop it into the beer. I mean, don't quote me on that. I mean, I'm too young for a Boilermaker. I mean, you could.
Sounds
I mean,
terrible.
24-year-old guy came into the bar and. And Chris like, yeah, what can I get you? Yeah, let me get a Boilermaker. I mean, it'd be, it's a white Lincoln Tahoe Space V5. They're going to kick him out of there.
when you guys have your bars, will you serve Boilermakers?
I mean, if you want
sure, whatever you want.
Stucky Maker.
I pointed out to Stucky that he should hire me to bartend because he would not have to worry about me drinking up his profits.
That's a good point.
True.
I drink about a beer a month.
So, I never drink, so that's why I think I'll be good at this business.
You're gonna have to bounce, dude. You'll have to be you'll have to be the forceful presence out front in the bar. Because
that's part of the job.
Six foot seven appear sexy standing out front of the bar. Yeah. Nobody's gonna start anything unless, like I said, unless you get, you know, a crowd of hill giants coming through wanting to raise hell and be in the next Thor movie.
I'm always looking for an excuse to beat someone up.
Yeah. Well, you get the drunk person that thinks they can beat him up, and then
Hill Giants was the last name of a baseball team. East Texas Hill Giants, but it just didn't look good on a jersey. I mean, you can't. I mean, when you start getting that many letters, they give you a
runs
fee.
All the way across the nipples. Another nipple reference.
Yeah, another nipple reference.
Promo that nipples.
All right, nipple promo part two. Okay, I just write nips. That's good enough. So daylight savings time is not a big deal, right?
I mean, I don't think so. It's 1 hour.
What we get out of it.
The farmers, daylight. extra sunlight for the farmers to get the
I like
done.
It. I like what it gives. It makes it where...
We get extra sun, but we don't get extra sunlight. It's the same sunlight we
always
get. It
just goes later in the day.
I like it because a guy like me, similar to Reed, who was a night guy, it gives you the ability where your night is day. So you don't have to get up really, you know, ass crack of dawn to get that extra daylight.
Right.
So now you can get off of work... And you can go.
Do
you
something.
Can play golf. Yeah, you get your. You can. You have a life.
Yeah, softball.
See, in the summer, the sun burns my people, and
that's true.
I don't want to be around it any more than I have to be.
I hate the sun too.
See, you know, Kerr is a fine Scottish name, and my ancestors were bred for underground fighting. Basically, the sun hurts, and I don't. I'm just cool with staying indoors.
So you have it in writing in your heritage to underground fight.
Yes, exactly.
Are you sure?
That's how they got here.
Yes.
They had to win.
I'm extremely pale skin. I mean, look at that. You can see veins and blood coursing through me.
My father is
pure blood Scottish, and my mother is a mole. So we do not care for the sun.
We got to write that in a short story. And I remember,
only 7 pages stuck. Yeah. You can get 7 pages down.
And I think, didn't you tell me once your great-great-grandfather was up? A plan fight for an underground fight for the field of 68.
Yeah.
And he had a VCU run and
he had to beat up a guy from Western Kentucky to get into the tournament.
On the road, neutral site, no logos on the top of the backboard.
That's right. The play-in fight club games.
Kerr plus 8.
I have no idea how we got here.
There's taking nothing a parlay. Worse than like you're on your way over from work and it's almost dark.
See, I love that.
Why?
Because it's almost dark. Because it's cold. I like winter. I like it when it's cold. I like it when For example, this is something that's always, you know, always gotten to me growing up watching movies and television. People on TV, for example, they dress cool. Like guys will wear, you know, a shirt with a jacket on over it.
Okay. V-neck.
Yeah. Okay. I'm wearing a V-neck t-shirt from Old Navy that is so, thanks to oldnavy.com for sponsoring this show.
Great place.
This shirt is so thin you can see through it. This shirt is
sounds like it's been washed 800 times. You wear it every day.
I bought several of them when they were on
Are
sale.
Are they all the same?
So, yeah.
You're like Homer Simpson?
I bought several V-necks in different colors when they were
clean. You have more than one of the same color?
Yes.
Interesting.
You get a look, you stay with it.
Yeah,
you don't see me rocking the Charlie Sheen shirts this year, do you? No, those are in the back of the closet.
Thank you.
I was going to give you one of those for graduation.
That would have been awesome.
Frame it, put it up there by the Tony Romo jersey.
Yes.
But anyway, I can't go out and wear this shirt with a sport jacket over it 8 months out of the year. I'll sweat to death. And nobody likes to see, you know, a guy in a sport jacket who, you know, smells like a garbage truck and has the big pit stains there.
Good point.
It's, you know, we wear shorts and t-shirts for at least 6 months of the year.
Easily.
There's no way around it. It's just too damn hot. And growing up, I would always see, you know, even minor characters on television, they're wearing jackets. They can dress in something that looks stylish rather than something that they need to wear to survive and not sweat to death. That's what I like. I like in the winter when I can put a jacket on and go outside. And I don't sweat getting the mail, you know?
We haven't got to wear a jacket all winter here, which...
Like twice I wore a jacket.
Like I'm a fan of after spending 3 years in Iowa for the winter.
Yeah, did you bring all your jackets back with you?
Yeah, I did. I haven't got to use any of them. I don't get cold here now.
No.
I used to.
Well, now being in Iowa, the difference... Iowa is, what, like about 800 miles away from where we are?
Yeah.
And it's about 100 degrees difference on most days.
It has been sometimes 100 degrees difference than it has been here.
Oh, yeah. I imagine that hardened you to the temperatures.
Did. I got a lot of cool winter gear, though, that I can't use anymore.
Yeah. Now you got to move up somewhere north to use it, though. It's a problem.
Not a fan of that either.
Yeah.
When he goes to L.A. and starts his acting career,
mm-hmm.
and that's...
Now, yeah. When he goes to L.A., would playing at Iowa State be good for him? Or would he be like the guy off the bus from the Midwest who came to town with a dream in his eyes? And
his story would be... College football player, mm-hmm. played at Iowa State, Big 12, and a down homeboy from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That would open doors anytime they had a football player in a movie,
yeah.
An athlete. If they remade Roadhouse and they needed the guy that just came in there and goes left boot, he'd get the call.
Yeah.
You could get in the mix pretty quick. I mean, you could literally go to L.A. and if you go to Central Casting and do background work almost instantly. I mean, right. They pay worth a damn, but pay something.
So he could go to L.A. and go, basically, I want all of the roles that Kane Hodder is too old to use right now.
Just,
I want the big guy in the background to break things.
They need...
Me and Tyler Mayne will work on the same shows, and I'll be a stunt double.
To get on TV is just a matter of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could... if. Sometimes I'll see it on TV, movies that I did background work that when I first got there, and you would be like, oh, man, I remember that day. I did some background work, and that got me in the union.
Mm-hmm.
But I know guys still to this day, that's what they do for a living. They're professional background actors.
See, I want to be the real deal. I want to be the main character.
Yeah, but you'd have to get – you would start off. But
I want to show up and be like, hey, look here, guy, producer man. I want your lead role here. Or the second lead role thing. I want my face all over that camera.
Say it better than that.
I want people to know who
I am.
I'll
put a cue card for you.
Yeah.
I would say my advice would be do it. Just to see what happens. I mean, worst case scenario.
You reach a point in your life where you can't do it.
Yeah, you can't. I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Growing up, I was a musician. And... Mm-hmm. Honestly, compared to everybody else that I was around at that time, it wasn't a bad one. But because of various things, including a horrendous marriage, I never She's not listening to this. She didn't listen to me. We were married. You know, I never took the chance. I never stepped out, which is actually good because if I had ventured forth maybe to Hollywood to try to make it, I would have reached town right about the time that the opening chords of Smells Like Teen Spirit hit and invalidated everything I'd been playing for the last 10 years. Yeah. So it's probably best that I didn't. But I didn't take that. So if you want to take that,
you got to do it now before you start putting feet on the planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you put feet here.
Right.
The next thing you're going to be like those guys working the pipeline that I met today.
Yep.
You're gonna be laying pipe, but not the kind of pipe you want to be laying.
Right. Or you'll be laying pipe incorrectly and be paying for it for the rest of your life. Yeah. Also, so just saying, it's
what you do in those 10 seconds can affect you for the rest of your life.
For you, that's five women.
Ladies and gentlemen, this part of the show brought to you by condoms. Condoms.com for all your condomish needs.
Deep thoughts at the podcast.
Is there a condoms.com? I imagine there would have to
be. Yeah, I'm not typing it in my browser. I'm sure that'll...
Yeah, exactly. That puts you on the no-fly list right there.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Stucky, are you going to look that up?
I'm going to Google.
Stucky's still here?
No, Stucky's making bets on the first round of the NCAA tournament in the background now, so...
He's got the gambling bug. Has bit him again.
Condoms.com for all your safe sex needs.
There you go. I was pretty close.
Condoms and condom reviews of all major brands.
Condom reviews.
Really?
Now, there's a gig.
Zach, you're set.
Can you write condom reviews? That's a good place to start. Everybody, you know, some guys start with short works, short stories, greeting cards. Condom reviews. That's where it is.
I like that.
You need to go to Vistaprint.com and get a business card.
And I go to the bars and clubs like, hey, I work for this website.
I'm a professional.
Yeah, I'm a professional. And part of my work is I need to test these out. So... Yes.
They want film.
I've got a pocket full of assignments, and I need your help.
I need your help.
Wow.
We went in the dark territory.
Yeah, we did.
Remember, this podcast is for entertainment.
It's actually a good segue. Only.
Yes.
Yes.
Are we segueing to something else now?
Yeah, home.
Okay. The last thing, the Magic Johnson
story.
There
you go. There's your segue.
Okay, last one. Speaking of condoms and things.
Lack thereof.
The Magic Johnson, was this weekend the anniversary of it?
Something like that. I don't know.
It was in November.
Was it?
Oh, yeah, it was.
They just now got the movies out on it.
They piggybacked it to the NCAA tournament announcement.
Right. I remember I was coming home from college, which I went to college an hour away.
What year was this? Help me out.
November 1931.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 8 years. Yeah, they're called doctors.
Yes.
Hey, now.
I remember hearing about it, and it was a pretty big deal at the time because no one famous had ever come out publicly with HIV. There were people, I think Ryan White had mentioned that he had it at this point, but he wasn't famous until he got it. And later on, you guys can Wikipedia that and find out who I'm talking about. But the Magic Johnson, it's the anniversary, I guess, if that's what they want to call it.
Sure.
Becky, what are your thoughts on it?
I was watching the piece that ESPN did, and I'm on my computer, Twitter, and all that, following Twitter, and everybody talking about how much of an inspiration he was.
Mm-hmm.
And that confused me.
Why is that?
He got AIDS because he slept with a bunch of dirty people and didn't use protection.
He sounds like an inspiration to me.
Yeah.
He sounds... I don't know what you're talking about, Stucky. But it sounds like inspiration to me.
He's a role model.
And he got AIDS, and... He's rich enough to
get HIV.
HIV.
Yeah.
He's HIV
positive. They make a point of that in the movie.
True. He did not contract the AIDS virus or whatever. I don't know. But he he has enough money to buy all the medicine that he needs to make sure that he can live as long as he has, and it's an inspiration. I don't know. I don't buy it.
We throw the word inspiration around for a lot of things that are not They're really just kind of life. Now, Magic Johnson's done a lot of good with his money, you know, in terms of opening up businesses where there were none. You know, I can see that. I don't know, maybe an inspiration for coming out and admitting he had it instead of just leaving the league. I don't know.
I think they kind of gloss over the fact he wrote a book like a year and a half after it happened, and he gives a statistical number to how many women that he had unprotected sex with. I believe they kind of talked about that with Bill Simmons when it was over with, and they never go into it. I mean, think of all those women that he had unprotected sex with after he'd already contracted the virus. Yeah. I mean, he put a lot of people at risk, and then you take those people and what they do with the rest of their lives. I mean, you're looking at a large segment of the United States.
How many women did he have sex with that can't afford what he can afford?
Correct.
Treatments.
They didn't do a Dateline NBC and go back and they didn't piece together all the women he ever had sex with to see whatever happened to those women. And he wasn't very responsible.
Right.
The good thing that came out of it, I guess, is that when you watch that movie and they show the faces of all the players, they're like, "Oh damn." What I saw when they scan the crowd.
What was his name?
Yeah. They're like, "Oh," they show Patrick Ewing and the guys that were in the heyday in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know they were partying with them.
Oh yeah.
I remember when Magic Johnson and James Worthy got arrested in Houston for buying hookers. And they never talk about that story. I was an intern and I'm in Lufkin, Texas at a TV station in Nacogdoches, Texas in Lufkin. And that story was, that would never, today that'd be on TMZ. It would be on, what's the sport TMZ?
Deadspin.
Yeah. That one. I mean, they never talked about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was buying hookers.
How is that inspirational? I mean, he did it to himself.
Yeah. Mm. What he
and
did,
others.
How he turned his life around and he made, basketball players start buying condoms. That was a good thing. And as somebody that was living that in that time frame, I mean, that was a big shocking moment.
It was shocking.
But to call him an inspiration and this amazing, he's not as amazing as people think, and he's not as bad as, he's getting a little bit of a free pass.
And a lot of times, as our society, we will hold people up for something that, that is, was something overcome because of their own problems, I guess.
Exactly.
This is not something that, he wasn't, Magic wasn't stricken with this because of a bad blood transfusion.
It's not like Lou Gehrig or something.
Yeah. Football player for the Saints that has ALS. Exactly.
They don't cover it.
Right. He's a guy who's having to overcome, and I can't think of it, Steve something or other.
I don't know.
I know what you're talking about.
We've seen the story, but that's because we're sports fans. Magic, everybody knew Magic. And because
that's how I got my nickname, my old nickname, Magic Matt. Because I used to be able to do that basketball trick that he could do in the 7-Up commercial. From 79 on.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the big,
huge,
gigantic point guard, smiling. He broke the endorsement barrier.
Bird and Magic rebuilt the NBA. Because, growing up, Stucky and Zach don't believe this, but the games weren't live. Finals were tape delayed after the news.
What?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Nobody gave a crap about the NBA.
Was it in high def?
It wasn't even in depth.
What?
It was just, it would be like, up next is the local weather for farmers tomorrow, and then after that, it'll be the Los Angeles Lakers against the whoever's. The NBA, 60s and 70s, almost no buzz. You had Wilt. You had some of the legendary figures from that time, but they're not, they weren't stars everywhere. Everybody wanted to see Magic and Larry Bird play. Mm-hmm. And those two teams had some epic battles. And from there, you grew into the Detroit Bad Boys era. And then Jordan, which was the biggest.
Yeah. Because you were either a Magic guy or you were a Bird guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that was how you would break things down for that, for people in that era.
Two transcendent players on different sides of the country with different fan bases. Mm-hmm. And, it was great.
But that was a big moment.
Right.
I mean, that was up there. Space shuttle, moments.
If those guys come out of college and decide to open up an Amway distributorship somewhere, there may be no NBA at this point.
So, pretty much, you didn't know what the announcement was.
No.
But there was an announcement, and he had been out for a while with a mysterious illness.
Yeah.
I don't even remembering that he was out, but one of the local radio guys was saying that he thought that he was going to announce he had HIV. And I thought, like, wow.
Because that's why in the movie they talk about how they moved up the announcement a day. Because they were going to do it the following day. And then the story broke. And then, I can remember being everybody around turning on CNN because there was no, that was it. Mm-hmm. You had CNN and back when they had CNN, that sports show that they did back in the day with Fred sports Hickman night. And Nick Charles.
Yeah.
And those guys were like, I think they were brought into the studio because there's going to be a breaking announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what is it? And of all the things out of nowhere, it's like Magic Johnson has HIV. You're like, what?
We, in society, we want too badly to hold someone up. Okay, another example. Lance Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great bike rider. Let's not pretend anybody gives a crap about cycling other than Lance Armstrong.
Correct.
Doesn't have, and even Greg LeMond's family doesn't give a crap. Beat cancer. We've glossed over the fact that he dumped his wife for Sheryl Crow and then dumped Sheryl Crow later.
Yeah.
We forget all the other things and we go, hey, beat cancer, he's a good guy. I don't know if he's a good guy. I don't know if he's a bad guy. But there's more than one facet.
We cheer for him because he beat cancer.
Yes. Yeah. And because he's American and he's beating foreigners at a sport that we...
And he used steroids.
Yes.
In
Dover. They're all dopers. That's ridiculous.
Any sport that... If you are in a sport that requires someone to keep your urine for a decade, it ain't a sport.
Yeah.
Just give it up.
When you go get a job with Stucky, they just keep your urine for a week.
Was it a week?
Yeah.
What happens to those?
Yeah, what happens to the specimens?
It does not stay on site, I promise.
Yeah.
Not in the fridge.
They make you go.
It does stay on your desk over the weekend.
Not in my office or anything.
Ryan Braun.
Yeah, like Ryan Braun sample.
Like, is my urine worth something on eBay?
Hey, Luis Gonzalez got something for his gum. So
that's right. That was weird.
Yeah, it was.
That's good.
He had to use too. He had that one good year.
Oh.
Anybody in baseball from that time period is going to be using.
I love Olive.
Perhaps they're not, but
my favorite,
think they will.
My favorite was Brady Anderson.
Yes.
19 home runs, 50.
Yes.
There you go.
Good,
okay.
Good batting coach. Good technique. Exactly. You're going to see that this season, Chris.
Yeah.
Home runs this year.
If you'll just turn your back foot out a little bit more and then jam this needle in your ass two or three times a week, you'll get that sort of you'll get that upper deck power back.
Barry Bonds put cream on his elbow and his head grew.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, I got to 40 and I gained 40 pounds of solid muscle and my head grew 3 sizes. It happens, you know.
My head has grown. I just had to order an extra large hat.
Mm-hmm.
Just going. I don't do steroids, but
and you got to get an extra large batting helmet.
That's right.
It's got inflatable things.
I look
on
like
it.
Kazoo. If you could visualize that reference.
And again, a reference that only half of us get.
Yeah.
I'm proud.
So confused.
Yeah.
Flintstones character. Voice of Harvey Korman, wasn't it?
How do you know this?
Yeah, you never know.
It's because it's who I am.
When we get Reed on the Game Show Network.
I
have connections there.
If you can get me on, I got nothing but time right now.
And there's your Four Guys in One podcast for this week. Reed Kerr here for readaboutit.com. Thanks for giving us a listen. We appreciate it, whether you found us through the website or through iTunes. We do appreciate you giving us a listen. More special stuff coming up next week back here at readaboutit.com. For Four Guys, One podcast, for Zach Spears, for Chris Stuckey, for Matty Five, Matt Bellner, I'm Reed Kerr. So long, everybody.